Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Well, again, I want to welcome you to the assembly of the 10th and Broad Church of Christ this morning. There are many wonderful things that happen in our assembly. In fact, the Christian assembly is something that is very important to the Lord. What you are doing this morning is something that pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, you know that familiar passage. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this general assembly is something that is very important to our development as God's people. We can worship together. We can sing as we've done this morning so well under the leadership of Wendell, and I appreciate all the effort that he goes to lead us in our worship through song. We actually teach one another through singing. It's an amazing thing. The Bible talks about how that the music of the church is not just for our encouragement. We encourage one another as we sing these songs together. And by the way, I might mention that the book of Revelation describes that heavenly scene of thousands upon thousands, if not millions upon millions, of God's angels and His redeemed singing praises to God. So it's a wonderful thing, and the more the merrier when it comes to singing praises to God. We can listen to the Word being preached. And you may not think that's important, but I want to tell you something, and this is also kind of personal. I have been preaching, I've been in full-time church work for about 43 years, I guess, and been preaching most of that time. I've preached a lot of sermons. I've preached a lot of funerals. And so when I got my cancer diagnosis, it was not something I wanted to hear, but I was never in any way alarmed. I was not devastated by that. And someone asked me about that, how I was doing emotionally. And I said, well, I'm doing fine, and I really am. And the reason I am is because I've listened to my own sermons. You cannot preach. I'm not saying they're eloquent sermons. I'm just saying I've heard what I've said. And you can't preach all that many sermons and preach all that many funerals and have a fear of death anymore. I mean, it makes a difference. And you may think that listening to me or some other preacher is sort of a waste of time, but even if you are not totally engaged, you are picking up more than you realize. And one of these days, you will draw on that resource when you need it the most. You may not need it now, but you'll need it later. And so one of the great things we do in our assembly is, whether it's Mike Pretty or Larry Suttle or whoever it is preaching, we hear God's Word, and it goes into our head and down into our hearts, and we draw strength from it for the rest of our lives. We communicate general announcements in our assembly. You need to have information about what we're doing. Youth activities and those who are ill and need our prayers and just on and on. You need to hear that, and so we do that in our assembly. We participate in the Lord's Supper. The center of our time together is, as Jeff said this morning, to focus and host, or rather toast, and I love that expression. I've never thought of it that way, Jeff. But toast our Lord for all He's done for us. In especially the redeeming us, the buying us back. What a great thing we do when we observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We pray together, And I think the more the merrier on that. Well, I'd just love to have all these seats packed, which we don't have in the summertime, but I would like to see every seat filled and everybody united in prayer on specific issues and needs and desires. What a difference that would make if when we unite ourselves in prayer. Take up the contribution for the betterment of the Lord's work and the advancement of His kingdom. We can do that in our assembly. So many great things happen in our assembly. Come one, come all, the doors are open. We want you here. But I want to say this morning, having said all of that, that there are things that cannot be done this hour, this assembly hour. We just cannot do it. We cannot exchange our thoughts. We cannot express our doubts. We cannot individually and personally express the needs that are going on in our lives. We cannot even ask questions. No, I don't take questions. And I'm glad I don't. I'd be put on the spot many times if I took questions. But we can't do that in the General Assembly. Well, those are needs that are out there. So what do we do? Do we just ignore them? Do we play like we don't have doubts? Do we play like that those things don't exist in our lives? Do we put on our Sunday best and shake hands and smile, put on our smiley face and walk out as if there's nothing going on in our lives? Jesus came on a mission. And that mission is expressed in many ways in the scripture, but one of my most memorable expressions that is stated in scripture is Luke 19:10, where Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save." Jesus came to engage people. He came to love people. He came to interact with people. And we will see Him doing that in many different ways when He was on the earth. When you read the Gospels, you see how Jesus did what He came to do, seek and to save. Of course, ultimately He sacrificed Himself on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. But all of that other part of His life, especially the 3 years of His public ministry, we see how Jesus engaged, interacted, and met the needs of human beings. He preached. Jesus was the master preacher and teacher, and we see Him talking to large multitudes. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount. He spoke to no telling how many hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, as He preached these great principles that are recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6, 7, and 8, or rather 5, 6, and 7, also recorded in Luke. We hear other sermons of Jesus that He went about to preaching to others. So He could do that in large numbers. We see Jesus even feeding people in large numbers. He fed the 5,000. On another occasion, He fed 4,000, probably not even counting the men and children. Now, He had to organize them in a certain way to do that because that large group of people was difficult to manage. And so He broke them up into smaller groups. But people can even eat in large numbers. As our fellowship meals will attest, we have great fellowship meals, and we just line up and go into that Family Life Center and enjoy eating together as Christians. But we see Jesus also, if He had a specific work to be done, He couldn't and never did send out thousands of people. We see Him sending out 70 because there was something to be done. And so He took 70 people out of that larger group of disciples and sent them on an evangelistic mission. We see Jesus, though, when He wanted to train certain men, the apostles, the men who would become the foundation of the church. He needed to be with them. He needed to talk to them, and they needed to see him, how he dealt with people and how he thought. And so in order to really train people and to develop them, he chose 12, not 5,000, not 70. He chose 12. And it's an interesting thing that those who are rather studied in the matter of human dynamics say that the number 12 is the perfect size for training and developing. You can handle 12. Where you can't handle 70 or thousands. So Jesus took those 12 to train, to bond with, to share intimate thoughts with, to teach personal lessons. And then we even see Jesus making time for one-on-one. We think about Nicodemus, who for his own reasons needed to come to Jesus very privately. And so he came at night, and Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, "Now listen, I'm going to be preaching tomorrow. You come back and you'll hear my lesson tomorrow." No, Nicodemus came, and Jesus took time for Nicodemus. And because Nicodemus needed something that couldn't be accomplished in larger groups. The church is the body of Christ. As the church, as the body of Christ, his mission is our mission. His ways are our ways. We follow his direction. We do what he did. We shepherd as he shepherded. We engage as he did. We meet human needs as he did. I suggest to you, many of us in churches of Christ have long imitated the early church. We feel like that we need to do things like the early church did it. In fact, I know of groups within the wider body of churches of Christ who are so focused on the early church that they miss what I consider, in my opinion, the bigger picture. I don't think our image should be that of the early church. Now, what I mean by that is the early church did some good things because they had the presence of the apostles and they had some immediate direction. And so some of the things they did were very good things. But much of the New Testament, as you know, was written by the apostles to correct problems in the early church. They didn't have it all together. They were struggling like we struggle, doing the best they could. And so I'm suggesting to you that our focus ought not to be solely on the early church. Our focus needs to be on Christ. We are the body of Christ. What did Christ do? What was the emphasis of Jesus? Whatever that is, that needs to be our emphasis. We need to do what Jesus did in the spirit that Jesus did it. Now, I've said all of that to say this. The reason the 10th and Broad Church, and of course we do not do it perfectly, in fact we don't do anything perfectly as human beings, but the reason the 10th and Broad Church is structured as it is and has been for over 20 years, this is not a new thing, is to be more like the body of Christ. We are one of the first churches of Christ to make small groups an integral part of our structure. It's not just an addition, it's something that we build around. Small groups are very central to what we do. As Jesus, I want to suggest to you, we engage people in all the appropriate ways, and I want to underscore that word appropriate. This is not a one-size-fits-all kind of deal. You are not a one-size-fits-all kind of person. As Jesus discovered, he could do certain things in one setting, but he would have to do something else in another. He could preach the Sermon on the Mount to hundreds, if not thousands, but he needed to handle Nicodemus in another way. To train his apostles, he needed to do that in another way. Don't try to do everything in the assembly. It is not appropriate. The reason I do not call on you to stand up from your seat and give a testimony or to confess your sin or even to acknowledge guests. I've even stopped doing that. I remember the day when we'd have all of our visitors stand. Then it dawned on us one day, well, you know, that kind of embarrasses folks. It's not appropriate to do that. It would not be appropriate for me to say, stand where you are and tell me what you've done bad this week. Share with me your doubts this week. Would you stand and do that? Now, the assembly, well, you're just among friends, just a few hundred people here. Well, it's not appropriate. And so this congregation provides all four levels of interaction with people on purpose. On purpose. We have the assembly, the large group experience, worship. Oh, you can't have too many. Just like in heaven, millions and millions of angels and the redeemed. Praise God. I just love hearing the singing of large groups of people. So come one, come all. But we also provide Bible classes. Now, this is not just something we do out of habit. You need that size group, that mid-size group where there's some interaction, like that group of 70. You get to know each other. You study the Bible together. People ask questions. You're bettered by those questions and come to a greater understanding of the Word by that interaction that takes place in a Bible class. You need small groups. You need that small group experience. We call them life groups around here. But it's that size group that's ideally 12, 15 people. And there is the need for one-on-one. There's the need for privacy. You know, that's one reason we've changed our invitation. The Bible never says how one handles an invitation. We've handled the invitation, that is, you come while we stand and sing, that kind of thing. We've just done that since the days of the old Frontier Revivals. That's how they did it. But we discovered, you know, we're not locked into that. And that's not a good way to handle it. Because sometimes people need privacy. They need time. They need to ask questions. They need to have more information. They may need to, for an elder and his wife and maybe a minister and his wife to take them back to an office and just circle up and pray about a sensitive matter, a private matter. It doesn't need to be shared in this assembly that's open to the public. They just need that one-on-one. But this morning, I want to emphasize our life groups. And the reason is because it's time to start them again. September the 8th, that first Sunday night after Labor Day, we get back with our small groups. And you'll be hearing more about that. Markham Herron is one of our deacons and is our coordinator of small groups. And he'll be having more to say, I think, even next Sunday about actual signing up and that kind of thing. You will have opportunity to join or to lead a small group or to host a small group in your home. Now you may think, and I think I know people well enough, I know my brothers and sisters well enough to know those who gather in the assembly that there are some sitting out here who think, well, if I go to church on Sunday morning, then I've done my duty. The rest of the day is mine. I can just go about my business and I don't have to worry about coming back for life groups. And I want you to know, if that's your attitude, maybe it would be expressed maybe in a little different way than I've expressed it. But if that's your attitude, you are so wrong about that. So wrong about that. You need all the opportunities that the Lord provides for you to grow and develop as an individual Christian. After I received this past May my cancer diagnosis, Andy Johnson was scheduled to preach that following Sunday anyway. And so Nikki and I decided to go to the Metroplex and tell our kids about what the doctor had said. We did that and had a good visit with them, but on Sunday, for various reasons, we felt especially low on Sunday afternoon. And we were tempted in a way to just stay in the Metroplex and do something. But both Nikki and I had the same thought together. No, we want to get back for our small group. We needed our small group like we'd never needed it before. We didn't feel the need to get back to attend a church service. We didn't feel the need to hear a sermon. And keep in mind, I preach sermons. That's what I do. So I love preaching. Now I love doing it more than I love hearing somebody else do it. That's just a unique quality of preachers. We always think we can do it better than somebody else. But no, as much as I love preaching, I didn't feel the need for a sermon. I didn't feel the need to come back to hear a Bible lesson. And I love to study the Bible. We were both eager and felt the almost overwhelming need to be loved on, to be with our small group, to share with them and have them share with us. One of the members of my small group, Dwayne Gray, had the same diagnosis as I several years ago. And so there was someone in our small group who understood exactly what I would be going through with chemo and that kind of thing. But all the others in that small group, we love, they love us. We could share intimately. They could love on us. We can love on them. They understood. We needed our small group. And again, you may not think you need a small group, but believe you me, one of these days you will. One of these days you will. You'll need a group to share happy times. You'll need a group to lean on during the hard times. And they're coming. I mean, those hard times come. And you want to be around people who understand. And you can speak with, and they can speak with you. What I'm saying is, coming to church, to use our vernacular, coming to church, shaking a few hands and hugging a few necks, and leaving is not enough. It's not the same. Oh, it's a good thing, and I'm glad you're here, and you need to be here on Sunday morning. You need to go to church. Corporate worship is vital. It's enriching. studying the Bible in a Bible class. Bible classes are your friend. Parents, they're your friend. You need Bible classes. But you need those deep relationships. Then those opportunities can ever provide. May I read you something? I hate to stand before you and read, but it's just expressed in a way that I could not express it, and I think it would be helpful. There is much concern regarding younger people leaving the church, and I'm not talking teenagers now, I'm not talking college students. I'm talking younger couples, young families. Well, I want to conclude my remarks this morning with something that I recently read, an article written by Tom Schultz. You don't know him, but some of you may know Group Publishing. He founded Group Publishing. Anyway, he wrote this little article, The De-Churched, Why They Left. Let me read you this. They left church behind. Now they outnumber those who stayed. Why have they turned their backs on a community of believers? What is it about today's church that keeps them away? Over the last year, while working on a major documentary film that examines America's state of faith and the condition of the church, I've talked with hundreds of people, and many of these are de-churched. They're done with the organized church. In some cases, they're wounded. In other cases, they're simply disinterested. Last week, I interviewed Tony, a father of four young children who left his church a year ago. He no longer attends any church. He hasn't abandoned his faith in Jesus. He's just done with what Jesus' church has become. In some ways, he knows too much. He spent 10 years in professional ministry, some of it in a couple of America's well-known large churches. He said, quote, "I'm over the concerts and speeches and the contrived effort to call a gathering of 3,000 people a family. What I value now is proximity," he wrote in his blog. "The only leaders I care to hear are those willing to know me and be known. Not in some official capacity over Starbucks with their church credit card in hand, but with a friend, a person living honestly in their own right, with no agenda or line to keep, but possessing the strength of character to have their own voice, doubts, and convictions." Tony worries about the hidden curriculum of pastoral leaders who intentionally keep a professional distance from their church members, who avoid forming real relationships. Tony fears the unintended takeaway. Maybe that's how God operates too, unwilling to know and be known. Tony is like a lot of de-churched people. He simply doesn't find value in participating in church as we know it. "I'm detoxing and looking for what remains that is real, that is love, that is true." My interview with Tony was sobering and disturbing, but also encouraging, because what Tony yearns for is something the Church of Jesus can be. If we choose to, he's not looking for perfection or polish or pious professionalism. He's looking for real people who are willing to admit that they don't have it all together, but realize we're all in this together. Humbly, fumbly, looking to follow the one who is perfect. And he concludes by saying, we need Tony and the millions like him. Folks, authenticity and meeting many human needs is not best accomplished here in this assembly. It's best accomplished in small groups. And I want you to know that not all congregations provide them by any stretch of the imagination. You are fortunate here. We are one of a relatively few in churches of Christ. I even beg you this morning, avail yourself of the wonderful opportunity that you uniquely have at the 10th and Broad Church. When the time comes to join, don't hesitate. Jump right in. You may have some fears. Jump right in. You'll find it's a wonderful experience. And like me, one of these days, you'll hightail it from Dallas to get back to your small group because you need it. You need it. Come and just be yourself and grow with people who are struggling just like you. Join them to learn from the Lord together.
Thank you, Larry. I too want to thank you this morning for your entering in the worship assembly. You know, my idea of heaven, singing up there with all these millions, and I'm the only tenor. That's what I'm going to love about it. That's what I'm going to love about it. It's great. This morning, we have many things that are happening in our family. We have a lot of them that are, a lot of the things that are listed on your prayer sheet and your bulletin. I do encourage you to take that sheet and take a look at those folks. So a lot of the folks have been on there for a long time, but there are folks that are new to the list there, but pay attention to those and earnestly pray for those things. Each week, Larry mentioned that we provide an opportunity for individuals that may have a need, may have a prayer need. You may want to be recognized as a member of this congregation. You may be in the middle of a study where you see a need for baptism. We invite you to come and talk to us about that. We'll be on the other side of these doors right here to my left. And there'll be, this morning, it will be Linda and I back there. We encourage you to come by and talk with us. We pray with you or whatever the need may be. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we are here together as this body of worshipers, Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity that has been brought to us to do this. And for your institution of the body of Christ, we are so grateful. And we hope that we can always be looking for those ways of serving, of coming together, of encouraging each other, of worshiping you. Father, we pray that you would help us open our minds as we seek these ways. Father, today there are a lot of folks that we've heard about for a while, we've looked at for a while, and that have needed your prayers. We have prayed for these folks. And Father, we want to continue to raise these folks to you. Father, we pray that you will comfort, heal, strengthen. But Father, we ask for your prayers on us as well, as we are servants of yours, as we can find ways of helping these folks, not just in prayer, but actually doing something for these folks, Father. And Father, we want to thank you for the things that happen within our government, and we talked about in our class this morning, as things continue to happen. And Father, it looks like that the government is going to be giving some relief to our government employees that have been on furlough for a while. Father, I'm just grateful that this is coming around. And Father, I know that you are in control of governments. And Father, I just pray for our leaders right now, that the ones that are leading and making these decisions are going to be able to do the things that are, number one, within your will, and number two, will be good for mankind and the things that go on. Father, just help us be good citizens and help us be good Christians in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, how fortunate are we? Very, 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 very fortunate. First, we live in Texas. That's awesome. Two, we live in the United States. And I've been all around the world, and no one lives like we do. You know, we may have our problems. We have some failures here and there, but compared to other places, we are still on top. And we get a chance to be here, we get to serve the Lord, we get to pray, we get to evangelize, and majority of the places on earth, you cannot do that at all. We live well, we eat well, we get to worship in a great place, we get to be around people like this, and it gives us the ability by luck or by God's grace, whatever we are, where we are. And we have the ability to help others who are less fortunate than us, and spread the word. And this is what we do today. We able to give for a contribution, and this helps us spread the word and to share our wealth, share our luck and our fortunes. So let's pray one more time. Our dear God, thank you for letting us live here, Lord. You've given so much to us, not just your son, Lord, not just your grace, but you've given us a great place to be. Lord, we thank you for that. This is amazing, amazing place, Lord. And let us open up our hearts and our minds. Let us give to others that need help, and help us spread your word in whatever way we can. And Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Greg Stanford, and I'm the children's minister here. And if this is your first time to visit or your return visit, we are so glad that you're here and want to encourage you to come back and be with us again. If this is your first time, there is an area in the back from our information center, and we have a welcome center in the atrium that we would like to greet you again. We have a gift bag for you that will let you know a little bit more about 10th and Broad and the church here. We pray that you would be blessed this morning and would come back and be with us again. If you go ahead and take a look at your prayer list inside your bulletin, there's a good number of people that would benefit from your prayers this week. I have one correction to make. Harry Edwards is in room 113 and not 107. So if you would make that amendment, change, and remember him and his family in your prayers this morning. Be sure to take a look at your bulletin. There's a lot of information inside there about things that are going on. A couple of things I want to bring up. If you would like to be a part of our internet groups, our intergenerational fellowship groups that will take place at the end of each month this summer, if you will note that on your attendance pad before you pass it down, go ahead and put internet if you'd like to be a part of that. We also need host homes. Those are places that we will meet and eat and fellowship together. They don't have to be huge places. They don't have to be super clean. They don't have to be clean at all. Just light some candles. We won't look. But it's just an awesome thing to do to be together. And so I encourage you, if you aren't signed up yet, to go ahead and do that and be a part of those fun groups. We've started our new quarter. Today was Promotion Sunday, and our kids have moved up to their new grades. Our sixth graders have moved up to the youth group. And so it's a super excited day today. We still have a couple of places that need teachers for Wednesday. And so if you haven't taught in a while or have taught and want to keep teaching, come see me or check out the sign-up sheet that's in the atrium. And now we have a couple of other announcements.
As is mentioned in the bulletin, our summer evening times together will be a variety of services, fellowship, and worship. Tonight, we're going to begin with an evening of service over at the Sunshine House, the corner, and the building right here. Now, there's going to be a lot of things for all ages, and we're going to have groups filling out notes of encouragement. That's always a really good thing to do. There's a lot of folks that we have a lot of shut-ins. We have a lot of folks who are homebound. We have some folks that need our prayers and our encouragement. We've had folks going through loss in families, and a lot of our college kids are still away for the summer. Those notes of encouragement are very, very important. There'll be some folks making visits to our members out in the community. Teachers, I want to encourage you guys, maybe use this time to make some changes in your room, some special preparations, or some special cleaning in your rooms. We're going to need an addition of 2 vacuum cleaners. Let me know this morning if you can bring a vacuum cleaner this evening. I would appreciate it very much. Also, we need 1 more weed eater, but most importantly, we need the operator for that weed eater as well, okay? Now, Don Wallace has a crew already put together for the Sunshine House. We need a weed eater and an operator over at the corner. So if you can do that, please let me know as well. Come prepared to enjoy a time of ministry and service. We'll be meeting in our Family Life Center at 6 o'clock this evening. Thank you.
When you came in this morning, you may have noticed a brand new, shiny white 2013 GMC Savannah 15-passenger van and wondered what it was doing there. We actually bought that van this week and traded one of our old vans on it. We've been blessed to have enough money set aside already to pay cash for that van. I want to give credit to John Holland in a big way for that. I sat in a lot of elders' meetings with John, and other people did as well, where he emphasized how important it was to set money aside every month, which we've been doing for a number of years now, to make sure when the vans we had wore out, we'd have money set aside for new transportation. So thanks in a large part to John. We've been doing that every month as part of our budget, and so we had enough money to pay for that van. The 2 vans we've had have been great vans. They've served us well. We've been a lot of places, served in a lot of ways with those vans, but they're both about 12 years old now. I think we have a slide that's going to tell you a little more information about them, but they about 12 years old. They both have a little over 100,000 miles on them. We've taken them to a lot of places. I know they've been to Mexico at least 3 times, and to Old Wine, Iowa, and Pascagoula, Mississippi, and Boulder, Colorado a number of times. They've been on trek and to camps every year, Camp Lujo and QMCC and Oklahoma Christian. They go to LTC every year. And so they've been used a lot for our youth and our younger people. I know the young at heart have taken them on a number of trips. We've gotten a lot of use out of them by all parts of the congregation. So it's been great to have good, safe, dependable transportation for a long time. But they're in okay shape, but it's time to replace them. And we haven't been able to buy the 1 new van. We'd like to buy a 2nd new van to have ready to go here before we start our summer activities. If we trade in our old van, we have some cash available to pay for that 2nd van, but not quite enough. We need to raise about $24,000 to pay cash for the 2nd van. If we can't do that, we'd like to at least raise enough to where we can go ahead and buy a 2nd van and pay it off over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years with money that we already have in the budget. But we prefer to be able to pay cash and use that money, keep putting in savings to set aside for the next time we need transportation. So to accomplish that, next Sunday, we're going to have a special contribution. We're just going to try to raise the $24,000. I'd like you to be praying about that. be thinking about it this week, planning for what you and your family can do. If you can, bring whatever money you can and bring a check next week to contribute toward that money, toward that $24,000. We'll also have pledge cards available to make it possible for you to tell us an amount you'd give at some point in the future if you'd like to pay a certain amount every month. We encourage you to do that as well. But next week, we are going to try to have a special contribution, try to raise the $24,000 it'll take to buy a second new van, so we'll have some new, safe, dependable transportation. You're a great congregation in terms of being generous and sacrificial in your giving. We see that in so many ways, and we have over the years. This congregation's way of taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of. The Lord has blessed us tremendously in that over the years, and I know He will this time as well. While I'm talking about giving, let me go ahead and encourage you to be faithful to the commitments that we all made in our regular giving this year. We are somewhat behind already this year, but if you're behind or can make that up, we'd appreciate it. Also, summer's a time when we're going on vacations and trips and out of town a lot, and so let me just encourage you to be faithful to that commitment throughout the summer and throughout the rest of this year. Thank you.
If you would pass the attendance pads down the aisles and sign them up while the song's played, I appreciate it.
I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for His children in the air. I'll join Him in that land where tears no sorrow can be found. And I'll receive my mansion, robe and crown. The weather there is always fair, there is sunshine day and night. No cold and no rain will fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments, I'll just wrap my robe around. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown.
I want a mansion.
Mansion, robe and a crown.
In glory,
there
I
love always abound.
Forever
let me your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my
mansion,
robe and crown.
We have a lot of announcements today. I just have a brief one. You see in your bulletin that on the 30th of this month, all the congregations are going to be worshiping on Sunday night at the Edgemere building, mainly in singing. This afternoon, if you are interested in being a part of a chorus to sing this afternoon at 3:30, and for each Sunday afternoon until the 30th, we'll be getting together at various buildings, and you can sing with the chorus some things that we ordinarily can't sing in a congregational worship. But it will be uplifting, I think, for all of us. So I want to tell you about that also. That's going to be at the Edgemere building today at 3:30. If you'd just like to sing with some other Christians, some things that we ordinarily can't do in our worship periods. Would you pray with me? Father, we appreciate so much the opportunities you give us. You lay things out in front of us that windows are open, doors are open, and sometimes we have to apologize, Father, that we don't follow through. Father, we claim your promise that you've already forgiven us and washed us by the blood of that lamb. But Father, we are that lamb. We are that body. We are Jesus here on earth. And Father, we sing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Father, we are worthy, not because of ourselves, but because you've made us that way. You extended your love to us already. Father, sometimes as Larry was talking to us this morning about repentance and feeling guilty, Father, we should feel guilty about some things, but that's not your plan, is to lay a guilt trip on us. Father, help us to be worthy because you are worthy, because we belong to you, because we carry your name. It's so easy to believe that I have to make the cut by myself. So, Father, help all of us to accept your free gift. Father, help us not to be critical of other people around us that are trying so hard to do your plan. We sit here today and we, even for our worship periods, it's easy to say, well, those songs didn't really meet my needs, and that sermon really didn't, and the prayers were not what I would have said, and it was a little too long today. And Father, sometimes we're so critical, and we criticize and we measure ourselves by other people. We repent. We know we'll probably do it in the future, but we repent today. We don't measure ourselves by ourselves, but only by your love. And that's what we're claiming today, is your love. We claim and thank you so much that we're your children. Thank you. It's through Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Okay, last little announcement here. I know y'all are tired of announcements. You might have looked at the youth section of the bulletin there. Parents, be paying attention to that. Tonight, 5:45 out in the youth building, just a little bit of hangout time. I mean, I'm still getting to know a lot of the kids a little bit better, plus with our upcoming sixth graders that are going into seventh grade, we wanted to be able to spend some time getting to know them a little bit better too. So we were going to kind of have a game night, bring a board game or card game. Maybe if you get too hot out in the sun, weed eating or something, you can come in and hang out with us for a little while. But also another thing that I wanted to point out, my email address is in there. It's michael@tenthandbroad.org. Parents, if you could at some point, you know, try to shoot me an email. That way I have it, and I could be keeping everyone updated on what's going on, various activities and things like that going on throughout the summer. That would help me out as well. Next Sunday, we're going to be having a Devo that evening at the Dold's house, so I'll get more details out to y'all through email. I just need those email addresses. So let's all be standing as we finish out our time of worship here, singing Step by Step. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step, you'll lead me, Lord, and I will follow you all of my days. Have a blessed week. We're dismissed.